Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
Welcome back to another episode of The Mac Rumor Show. Good afternoon, Hartley. What is it for you? This is because you're not in your UK, so I don't...
No, it's just about afternoon for me now.
Yeah, okay.
Just about. For once, I'm actually behind you with time.
Yeah, yeah. And then soon we will become one with time. Does that?
We will.
That sounds like spiritual. And but yeah, next week we'll be getting together. But I do need to throw out, because I have forgotten every other time except until the end of the episode. So this is everyone's reminder. As long as you're not driving or doing something unsafe, please pull out your phone and send us a question for our Q&A episode. You can either send it to me at dan@macrumors.com if you're, you know, on Twitter and follow one of us, send us a question to either the Mac Rumor Show or one of our personal handles. You can also just comment down below if you're watching this on YouTube, and we will read all of that. Any question could be about anything related to Apple or personal lives, whatever you want to know. We're here, and we will try our best to answer every single one of these questions. Cool. So now, with that said, we got a little bit of a drop from Tim Cook himself, which is odd. We talked about the iPhone SE last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, being imminent. I think I did a video literally last week saying it's coming this week because there were a lot of signs and rumors pointing to that. And now we've heard that it's being shifted one more week next week. And it's just kind of like bummed me out, because I'm like, all right, we'll just keep pushing it forward. It makes me look like a little bit of a liar here. But Tim Cook today tweeted, come join us next week, February 19th, which is Wednesday, and check out the newest member of our family with a little animation. Hartley, what were your thoughts when you saw that?
It was quite unexpected. Normally, with these sorts of releases, the iPhone SE is not a big deal for Apple. And it just seems a little bit uncharacteristic. Even the invite is very premium styled. I say invite, yeah, but it's a teaser, I suppose.
It's just, yeah.
It's an invitation to observe the launch. It's got hashtag Apple launch. So they are,
right,
being clear that a product is coming. But the vibe of it is a little bit different to what we've normally come to expect from the iPhone SE and entry-level products, where things tend to be a bit more colorful or creative or accessible in some way. This is more premium. It's silver and white and very classic Apple. So I don't know if that's reading too much into it, because realistically, it is just the iPhone SE. That is the product that we are now expecting. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman has been very clear that that is what we are expecting most imminently. There are some other launches in the pipeline right now. So we've got the M4 MacBook Air coming up. We've got the refreshed iPad Air coming up. And we've also got the entry-level iPad as well. There are a few other rumored things floating around as well. But those are pretty much the main hardware products that we're looking at. In all likelihood, this is just iPhone SE.
Yeah. I don't know why, I just have this feeling that there could be something else next week. I mean, we are expecting iOS 18.4, and that's going to be big on its own as a beta, because that'll give us a look into what the new Siri features with Apple Intelligence will finally be like in the wild. But I don't know, I just feel like there's something else that they're not telling us about. I mean, okay, so let's go back to when the Macs, we had the iMac and the Mac Mini, which was exciting because that was a whole new redesign. And we had the MacBook Pro, right? Those all got launched. That did get an ahead-of-time tweet by Joss. And so that kind of confirmed that there was an... And they even called it an Apple event, I believe. But, like, Tim Cook didn't say anything, or at least he wasn't the first to say anything. And they didn't call it an Apple launch, and they didn't tease necessarily in this same way. Like, I just feel like this is really weird. For it to come from Tim himself first makes it strange to me. It gives it like an unnecessary amount of importance, especially if it is just a next generation iPhone SE. Unless, real quick, I'm just gonna throw this out there, unless the rumors about the name change is in fact true, in which it would be an iPhone 16e or something related to the 16, that's where I feel like Tim might play a part, because he would explain kind of how that fits into the category. But I don't know, man. What are you trying? I know you're just trying to say something.
I am extremely skeptical about the rumors of iPhone 16e. And the reason for that is because this device is going to, for most of its life, exist alongside the iPhone 17. So that would be quite confusing to have the iPhone 16e, the iPhone 17, 17 Air, and then 17 Pro and Pro Max. And the iPhone SE usually hangs around for 2 years. So going forward, it would exist alongside maybe the iPhone 18 models. And we've got this thing called the 16e.
No, but here's where my defense comes in. We still are seeing the iPhone 14 and the 15. Some of those, whether it be the Pro or the regular variants, those are still being sold. So there's no reason why it can't hang around based off the number. And I'm also wondering if this is kind of like a mid-cycle, you know, introduction of something different, and it would be more of like a yearly thing. Because then they can just upgrade the chip, upgrade and add a little bit of stuff here and there. And so we'll have a 16E from February to February, and then we'll have a 17E from February to February, et cetera, et cetera. And so maybe you start getting rid of some of the unnecessary couple generation iPhones that hang around, if that's the case. This episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by Incogni. The U.S. has a big data privacy issue that you might not be aware of, and that's people search websites. These websites create detailed personal profiles on millions of Americans and publish them online for anyone to see with just a simple Google search. People search can be abused by those with bad intentions. Incogni puts an end to this problem with just a few easy steps. All you got to do is create an account and grant Incogni the right to work for you. They will contact data brokers on your behalf and request the information to be removed. And then all you need to do is kick back and watch them work their magic with progress updates on how things are going along the way. I've heard some pretty crazy stories about how people would use these people search websites for malicious intent, like stalking, or even in a road rage incident gone bad where someone looked up a license plate number and then found a people search website with all of the personal data and address and then easily go find that person. This can happen to you, so something to keep in mind and try to take back your privacy and your data by using Incogni. Have them remove your data and cut down on those terrible robocalls too. That's an added bonus, since data brokers are mostly the ones selling your personal phone number to these companies that have these call lists. So take back your personal info and check out Incogni today. Use code THEMACROOMERS at the link below to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan.
I can see the logic in that, but I don't know what they would even be able to do with this model next year. Because they're giving it such good hardware.
Feature at a time. Action button.
I mean,
the camera control.
There would be basically nothing other than... It may even have the action button. That's actually something we're not 100% clear about. But okay, they could give it camera control, and eventually they would upgrade the chip. But I mean, this is going to have an A18. So this is going to be a very up-to-date chip for quite a long time. And short of giving it ProMotion or an ultra-wide camera or something, there's so little that they can actually do to this device other than Dynamic Island. I can't see it.
Okay, I still stand by my sentiment, but now instead of that, it still fits the same way. It just hangs around with that name for a couple of years. It's no different than having a 14 and a 15 being sold officially on Apple's website. So there's no reason why when the 18 comes out, they still have a 16E and then the 17 lineup, and that's just the three levels.
But
there's no reason why.
It's very confusing. I think that we talked a lot about
now.
we've talked about name conventions a lot, and yeah. how Apple really needs to simplify. That to me would be a step back, because people read into the numbers. So for marketing purposes, if you are selling something that is a 16e alongside an iPhone 18, a customer is going to think, this is two generations behind. I'm not sure about this.
I agree. I that's where I'd be wondering where how they would like navigate that, because somebody did mention that. I didn't even think about it until I saw a tweet about it today, or a comment on the video maybe that was like, oh, they're not going to do that because then it just dates it by the name. And I'm like, yeah, you're not wrong.
And it is,
but like the iPhone SE before was the iPhone SE before was called, wasn't it just iPhone SE 2022?
Well, that wasn't its official name. It was just iPhone SE. And we refer to it like we refer to many other devices by generation. So the current model is the third generation iPhone SE. But the whole idea behind doing that is that the average consumer that goes into an Apple store and just wants to buy an iPhone SE does not care about its generation. Sure. They really do not care. So it's not necessary to bring that into it. And the whole reason why Apple has stuck with numbers on the mainline iPhone is because it serves a marketing purpose. Logically, it would make sense to do that as well and remove the numbers there. But that isn't a case of logic. That is a case of saying to consumers, oh, well, the 16 is last year's model. Now you want the shiny new 17. And you do this every year. And ordinary people can understand with a passing interest in smartphones which model they have. This is not the SE's audience. So I would be shocked if they did that. Now, what I will say about it is that I think this is going to be a very different sort of iPhone SE to what we are used to because of the hardware that is on offer here. I think this is going to be an incredibly compelling device. And I was actually talking to some of our colleagues at MacRumors here about how this is going to fit in. And I'm now also convinced that the iPhone 14 is going to go away. We mentioned last week that the iPhone 14 doesn't really fit in here. So that also would be a little bit unusual because we haven't had that before where an iPhone model is phased out in the middle of a year. It's always at the around a whole new lineup's launch. That also is very different. And that just goes to show quite how much of a leap forward this device is. I mean, just think about it compared to the iPhone 14. The iPhone 14 was, it was the 14 and 14 Plus, and that was introduced in 2022. Is that right? I believe so. So not that long ago. The iPhone SE will have USB-C instead of Lightning. It will have a 48 megapixel camera instead of a 12 megapixel camera. It will have the custom modem. It will support Apple Intelligence. It will have 2 gigabytes more memory. It will have the A18 instead of the A15 in the iPhone 14. And I'm pretty sure there's actually quite a bit more than that as well. I know you lose the ultra-wide camera, but that's it. That's the only thing.
I kind of assumed that the 14 was definitely going to be gone with the iPhone SE coming out, so that makes plenty of sense. The only thing is, it would be really funny if Apple made no changes except for the A18, the modem, and the USB-C port, and then just repackaged it. It like, gave you two cameras. It's just like, oh, yeah, here it is. The iPhone 14's gone, but we have the new SE. Because that's all, in theory, they would need to
do.
This
iPhone SE is effectively an iPhone 14, but with those added features. It's the same design. It's got that
and the
same
removal of a
narrowed notch on the front. It's the same display. It's going to have the same. It probably will fit in the same cases.
Which is why I think it's weird that Tim Cook is talking about this. Like, I don't see the need for him to hype it up.
Consider that the iPhone 14 right now, if you want to buy that from Apple, I believe that's $599. This iPhone SE is going to come in at below $500 for all of that hardware that is considerably better than what you currently get for $600. For a lot of people, that is a very big deal. And while it's not a big deal to us, because we have pro models with all of the stuff
already. It's a, I mean, I think it's a big deal.
But
it's just
for ordinary customers and in developing markets, this will be many people's very first iPhone. I mean, if you were going to buy an iPhone for your kid as their first iPhone, this would be the iPhone you would buy. The same goes for anyone, really, if it's their first iPhone. So I can see why this is a really important product for Tim Cook as well. So I can see it because this feels like a bigger deal than any iPhone SE that we've had probably since the original.
They're hoping this saves the iPhone sales for the year, aren't they? Because I know that those numbers have been slipping a little bit. So if he's pushing it hard, that makes me worry a little. I mean, I know they've made a bunch of money this year, so they're fine. But like iPhone sales were slipping. So I wonder if this is just a way to get that little more on everyone's radar. Even Elon Musk retweeted this. Are they back to being friends? What's happening here?
I think it makes sense as well because there actually are a lot of iPhone models on sale right now.
Too many.
I mean, we were talking last week about how there was a time when Apple just offered the iPhone 5C and the iPhone 5S. That was it. If you went to an Apple store, that was your choice. No other models on sale at all. And even not so long ago, you could pick up an iPhone 11, an 11 Pro, or an 11 Pro Max. Now, as of today, you can buy an iPhone SE, third generation. You can buy an iPhone 14, a 14 Plus, a 15, a 15 Plus, a 16, a 16 Plus, and then a 16 Pro and a 16 Pro Max. So that's what ordinary customers have to contend with. So this, to me, also seems like a way of cleaning up the lineup. I mean, even the iPhone 15, I don't think it's going to be massively compelling.
Just keep the Pro and the SEs and then move to the 16. That's it. That's all you need.
I think they will keep the 15s on sale. But the only thing that's a little bit strange about them is they don't have Apple Intelligence. And the chip is not as good. So that's a little bit strange.
I would say
that would be more expensive.
I would say most people probably wouldn't care about Apple Intelligence. They'd be like, what do I need it for? I'm probably not going to use it. Aside from maybe Genmoji, like I said, I feel like that feature's catching on, even though the marketing and the billboards are hilarious. But now that the Siri stuff's going to be coming out, I feel like that could get a lot of the average people like, oh, that's cool.
It does seem to be driving sales.
Oh, you think so? Or we know that.
Apple doesn't reveal its numbers about this stuff anymore. But as far as we know from various analysts and consumer data that's been obtained, it does seem to be driving upgrades, especially among people that have at least a passing interest. That it seems like the audience for iPhones is splitting. Years ago, most people just upgraded every 2 years. Now, what seems to be happening is that enthusiasts upgrade more often, which makes Apple more money. But people at the sort of lower end of the interest scale upgrade less often, 3 years or 4 years. So it's actually just splitting into two markets. And in that sense, Apple Intelligence is driving upgrades. And while we know that when the iPhone 16 had all of this marketing flurry, that actually there wasn't that much available on the device at that time. But the average person didn't know that. The average person just thinks, oh, AI, you know, ChatGPT is out now. iPhone is now getting AI. That's really cool. I guess I need to upgrade.
Well, they really hammer it home, too, with all the commercials, because they say Apple Intelligence like 30 times. One of our close family friends, their 6 or 7-year-old child has constantly asked me if I have the iPhone 16 Pro Max with Apple Intelligence. Says it exactly the way they say it in the commercials. And I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. Like, I mean, he's 6 or 7. Like, that's crazy that he already has it, like, ingrained in his brain. Like, oh, it's the 16 with Apple Intelligence. Like, that's just the way they say it. They don't even say the name anymore, just the number. It's with Apple Intelligence. So, I mean, it's definitely being hammered home that it exists, but I would love to know from, I mean, this isn't the average person podcast, but I would just would love that info from just a general population of like, do you even care? And is this a reason to go buy a phone if it's under 500 but can offer you those features? I guess we'll find out in due time.
Consider the iPhone 15. And I understand why you might go for a 15 Plus, but if you were going to suggest to someone that they buy an iPhone 15 or an iPhone SE, what would you really say? Because the iPhone 15, you get that ultra-wide camera, you get Dynamic Island, you get the action button, but in pretty much every other respect, as far as I can think, the iPhone SE is actively better.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably have to recommend the SE, right?
Yeah, or I would say,
with a couple of caveats of like, I mean, unless you really, really need an ultra wide camera for something. I mean, what do we know? Maybe they're like professional. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I said I would get rid of the 15. There's no reason for it. The Dynamic Island and the ultra wide are not enough of a reason to not have a better chip, kind of future proof yourself another year with that chip, guarantee the updates.
And also the other thing you have to remember about Apple Intelligence and why this is more important for an iPhone SE is iPhone SE customers keep their device for longer. So if you walking into an Apple store and you're considering, do I want an iPhone 15, which is already at this point 18 months old, or do I want an iPhone SE that is the latest model and it supports Apple Intelligence, which means it's going to get all of those features going forward? It seems like an easy choice to me. And it's cheaper. It'll be cheaper too.
Hold on. I got a question. Does the iPhone... Man, people are going to... Does the iPhone SE still... Is it still not capable of taking portrait photos of people? Or do they finally get past that? Because it was like the whole single camera... Remember where you couldn't do that on...
It wasn't because it had a single camera, because the iPhone XR had a single camera and could take portrait photos.
Well, there was some reason. It didn't. It was missing a sensor of some sort, the depth sensor, right?
No, because the iPhone XR...
I don't remember. Yes, you're right. I just can't remember.
I think it was night mode you might be thinking of. The iPhone SE can't do night mode.
No, there was definitely a phone where if you tried to take... Oh, no, I'm sorry. It could take... I have this backwards. It could take portraits of people. It could not take a... Portraits and animals, I think. But it could not take portraits of anything else. Yes. Maybe you like taking portraits of other things that are non-people, and you couldn't take portraits of objects, basically. I don't know. That's not a reason to upgrade, but have they ever fixed that? I'm just curious. I wonder that'll be something to test in the 48 megapixel sensor if that was the case.
I mean, also consider that the iPhone 17 Air will have a single camera. So they can't really use that excuse with that device either.
They're going to have to figure it out.
So you're right. That will be interesting to see if the iPhone SE does this, because the iPhone 17 is definitely going to need to be able to do that.
There's got to be some sort of processing they can do. I'm 95% positive that there are budget Android devices in like the $200 range that can take, with a single camera and with lesser quality sensors, can take full portraits of anything and everything. All right, well, that's the next week. I mean, I know it's iPhone SE for sure. I would nearly bet my life that that's coming. But I don't know that it stops there. I'm going to guess it does, but I don't know. There's something part of me here that, of course, you know, we've got our thing going on next week, so just have to make it super busy for us. There is a mole inside our company that is telling Apple when we're going on this. We just need to find them. We need to tell them to stop. Because I just wanted to relax. I just wanted to relax, and I don't think that's going to happen. So expect a lot of videos coming from my, not really a hotel room, but from my Airbnb room. We'll kind of see what happens next week. Something else that we could expect, but not, you briefly mentioned it, and we don't really need to go past that, but I'm just curious of a question. The M4 MacBook Air also was a part of the whole report with the iPhone SE, saying that the M4 MacBook Air is also imminent, could be coming in weeks. Do you think that that's a possibility? It gets announced at least next week, or no?
There's so much floating around at this point that I just don't know when all of this is going to come. It just seems like it's going to be really soon. I mean, even something like the iPad Air should be imminent. The new entry-level iPad should be imminent. Then you throw on top of that the fact that there are rumors of some sort of Vision Pro announcement as well, however big or small that may be. That's quite a lot going on. And then you could even go further than that and say, well, it's around this time that we start to hear about a refreshed iPhone color as well. So maybe yeah. that's coming. There's a whole bunch of things. I mean, to be honest, there's a whole event's worth of stuff. So I wonder if maybe next week we end up getting Monday to Friday press releases every day.
Don't do that. Do not do that. That's not fun for anyone involved. Don't do that. Do not. If this was any other week, I would tell you, I don't care. That's great. That's great news. Not this week. Don't do that.
I don't mean to worry you, Dan, but that is a possibility.
Oh, I already have potentially some fun things happening next week. Anyways, the other question that I have, well, you sparked one. I have two. One, I don't know that I believe in, like, what's with the iPad Air? Didn't we just get that in May? And why would that be upgraded and not the iPad Pro? Is it because it's two chips behind? Well, isn't that kind of weird that they're looking to upgrade that so soon?
The iPad Air has sold really well for Apple.
Okay.
So it's a device that they are looking to refresh more often, I suppose. They are also phasing out the M3 chip.
Sure. So they're just going to skip it entirely?
So in all likelihood, it will either go to M3 or to M4. It wouldn't surprise me if it goes to M4 because they are making so many M4 devices. It's going to be in every single Mac. And that is because it's based on this enhanced 3-nanometer technology, which has scaled up production really well. It's cheaper for Apple to pay TSMC to manufacture. So when you consider that the iPad Air is pretty well defined against the iPad Pro, they've got different displays. One's got ProMotion. They are pretty well defined devices. Giving it the M4 chip is not going to make a world of difference.
But it kind of does. I kind of feel like it then just makes it the iPhone lineup all over again. They're basically just iPhones in different form factors. The iPad Air is the iPhone 16 and 16 Plus. And you should buy that one, but you most likely won't because you'll want to go for the Pro because it's got the Pro name into it. But like the displays are great. Don't get me wrong. That OLED display is something to look at for sure. Nope. You know, and then ProMotion's fine, but like you don't need that. And you're getting the same processor as everything else on the Pro.
But they don't sell a lot of iPad Pros anyway. So they're not really cannibalizing anything by giving it the M4 chip. And if they can support iPad sales, keep getting iPads moving off shelves, because those customers are not going to spend $2,000 on an iPad Pro with a keyboard and an Apple Pencil and spec it up with the nanotexture display. They're going to go for an iPad Air. And now there are also rumors that the iPad Air is going to get an improved keyboard that is specially for the iPad Air. Maybe a little bit more like we've got used to on the iPad Pro.
But then now you're really cannibalizing it. That's the other main thing that's like a pretty big draw there.
They still are different enough because the price points are different. That's the thing is, in specs, I agree. But the fact is you can pick up an iPad Air for $600. And that's a deal.
I still feel like you're proving my point. There's no reason to get a Pro then. Like, besides the display,
The Pro,
I wouldn't...
The iPad Pro is really just for enthusiasts, isn't it?
Yeah. It's I love my iPad Pro.
People actually use the MacBook Pro for work, a lot of people. The number of people that use the iPad Pro for work is still fairly small, and those people that do buy the iPad Pro realistically are just still using it for content consumption and a bit of light browsing and email and that kind of thing.
Just real quick, couple minutes, a minute tops. What do you think he means by, am I reading too much into it? Don't you think it's a little weird that Tim Cook said, meet the newest member of our family? I understand that the iPhone SE is a new phone, but it's just weird phrasing. Like, I would save that for something that is like a completely new product. I know that's not what we're getting, but I can't get my mind off of it. I just feel like we have something unexpected and new happening for some weird reason.
I agree, but I don't really know anymore.
No.
I think that sometimes
new AirTag
the last few years
kind of looks like an AirTag, doesn't it?
I think that Apple is kind of I don't trust it with some of its marketing wording, and I don't think that a thought by Tim Cook is going to have had as much thought put into it as maybe it would have done 10 years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. We're bored. We're at this time where, any news is good news. We just need something. So, All right, the last thing that was actually really good that came out this week, I can finally talk to you about it, is the Power Beats Pro 2. And really, you know, in a nutshell, you can go watch my video if you want to know the full review, but you're basically getting a solid improvement over what was already very popular headphones in the Power Beats Pro from before, but they're more refined, smaller case, smaller footprint. But the biggest thing is that it now has the H2 chip. That's really big, but also it now has a heart rate. Wow, I don't know why my voice just squeaked right there. It now has a heart rate sensor. If I can get down to Hartley's voice there for a minute. It's got a heart rate sensor built into the earbuds themselves, which is the first time we have ever seen this from an Apple product / Beats product. And it's also something that's heavily rumored for the new AirPods Pro that have not come out yet. And so I know we've seen Apple do this a little bit before in the past with like teasing features that should be in higher end devices, but they're not. We might even get it with the 5G. I mean, it's not really a premium feature, but it's just something new that we've never seen before with the 5G modem. But I still think it's a little strange. But yeah, I mean, what were your thoughts when you officially saw this?
I thought it was interesting. The thing that I was a little bit surprised about with it was that the heart rate sensor is basically defunct if you wear an Apple Watch.
Yeah, that does suck. I'm not going to lie.
And to me, a better way of utilizing that sensor and actually selling the product would be to say it dynamically uses data from both sources to produce a more accurate result.
Yeah.
And then I would want to wear them with my Apple Watch because I would think I was going to get more accurate readings. But it's just
even if it's just strange. BS.
And so when I eventually get this feature with the AirPods Pro 3, I just sort of feel less enthused by it now. There are occasions actually when it would be useful when I don't wear my Apple Watch. But those are niche cases. And maybe you can explain to me, am I right in thinking that it only works during workouts? It doesn't just take background readings?
Yes, from what I understand. And the worst part is, and I mean, this is possibly because there is no like workouts app on the iPhone or workouts like integration via activity app. But that's the only way I track any of my stuff, and I like doing it that way. And you only really can use it with third-party applications. So subscription models are a thing that you'll probably have to do. Nike Run Club is free, so that's what I tested it on. And so, I mean, you can only really get your heart rate without your watch from those third-party apps. I wish there was a way in Activity to just like start a workout like that. And then that way you can track your... You know, I mean, you can track the time so you get the ring closed for your exercise. Maybe it can go off the heart rate and then be able to figure out how much your calories would be because your heart rate's up. Like, there's got to be a way to integrate it so that if you forgot your Apple Watch, you know that feeling of like, did I really work out if my Apple Watch didn't record it? Well, now you can get that satisfaction of like, oh, well, I've got my AirPods or my AirPods Pro 3, whenever that happens, but my Power Beats Pro 2, so I can get my heart rate. It should be able to help track enough data that I can still get this recorded into the Activity app and feel pretty good about it. And so I just wish there was a way to do that. Or like you said, just dynamically switch and make up something
I agree.
That says it works both ways.
I would fall for that trick. So it just seems like a little bit of a missed opportunity. I mean, it is very cool. You know, I was watching in your video where you hold the sensor in your hand.
Oh, yeah. It's microscopic.
It's incredible how tiny this thing is. And considering that this is miniaturized technology from the Apple Watch, that sensor in the Apple Watch, in the original Apple Watch, if you watched teardowns of it, was big. And the fact that has now got so tiny is incredibly impressive. And I actually think they're a great device. I think the way that now they've added wireless charging, the way that the battery life is up to something silly like 45 hours now with the case. And it's a smaller case. It really seems like a great product. The only thing that when I heard your analysis about it in your video that I sort of raised an eyebrow about was that they don't sound quite as good as the AirPods Pro, which is a shame.
Well, and so that's the thing. I was told that they should. So some folks saw my video and reached out and said, hey, are you sure you got the proper fit? And I do have the proper fit. I don't know. Maybe it's like a placebo thing. If you watched, I think MKBHD said the exact same thing for both transparency and noise cancellation and sound quality. They're good. I just feel like it's not quite. I mean, they have a different sound profile too. They still and they told us during the briefing that they're still going to have that Beats characterization. Like, they still used their people, their technology for the sound, and not necessarily took everything from Apple. And they made it very clear that it is, like, in some regards, there's a feature that might have been taken 100% from Apple's, like, you know, findings and their research and their development and added it in. And then there are some where they work together with Apple, but it's still their stuff that they're also using. So the sound, I was told, was, you know, and if I'm wrong, hopefully they'll correct me and I will gladly retract. But from what I remember, it was very much like that's their sound profile. It's not as crazy as what it was in years past, or like the whole meme of, you know, oh, it's Beats, so it's just massive bass. It's not like that. But it's not that natural, like more, you know, even level
right.
sound profile that I'm used to with the AirPods Pro. And I didn't think it sounds bad. It's just it's very good. And some people, you know, it's all subjective. It's just going to be whatever you think. But I'm happy to know that other people, you know, were kind of right there with where I was at. Because I'm like, oh, no, am I the only one that heard it this way?
The other thing I wanted to ask you about the Power Beats was I've never had fit issues with the AirPods Pro when I'm working out. I don't think I've really ever had an AirPod Pro fall out. Maybe a couple of times if I haven't actually put it in properly. But certainly it's never come out when I'm working out. You know, I've had them in when I play tennis or I'm really moving a lot and they just don't fall out.
Sure.
Do you think that, is that just because that's my fit with the AirPods Pro? And so there are plenty of people that actually need those ear hooks or...
Yeah.
How do you feel about that when you work out or...
So, yeah, I would say that I always thought I was somebody like you where I never really had issues because I've always felt like they were fine. But I've noticed recently with this generation of AirPods, and I don't know if it's, you know, what it could be or not, but like I've noticed that it's like starting to get to the point where it's moving a little bit where I've like actually pushed them in further. Like, oh, like why did this feel weird? Because it's not fully in. It wasn't like, oh, that everything sounds bad or something's not working properly, I should check, or they never fell out. But like, I did notice that it was starting to get a little looser with some activity. And that just does not happen with the ear hooks, obviously, because they're just wrapped around your ear and then shoved in. So you've got that little extra layer there. But I know so many people that just say, they don't fit my ear. It's weird. I can't wear AirPods. So I go for something else. And my first, you know, thought is like, do you know about the ear fit test? Just like they asked me when my things were like, do you know about the fit test? And like, maybe they don't, and they don't know that there's extra tips inside. So definitely take the fit test and try and see if you've got a good seal and mess around with the different tips. And that's another good thing about the Power Beats Pro is you basically have five, and medium come on by default. Then you have extra small, large and extra large tips inside the box. So they're really trying to make sure it fits everybody. I can't remember if you get five or just four. I feel like it's just four with the AirPods Pro, right?
I believe so.
Like small to extra large and not extra small. I feel like one of those is missing.
I think it's the extra large that's missing with the AirPods.
Okay.
Pro.
So one of them's missing. I feel like, but you know, it's been a while since I've looked in there because I've always just been medium by default. Everything's worked fine. Maybe I need to go large on the AirPods Pro. It's something that I'll have to try, but yeah. I think if you are somebody out there who's like, no, I just can't wear AirPods. I always fall out of my ear, especially if I'm running. Definitely try the Power Beats Pro. I think you'll be super happy. And they're basically a one-to-one identical, you know, feature set nearly of AirPods Pro. And they should sound the same. They should be the same type of transparency and noise cancellation. So maybe you can tell me if that's the case one day if you try it. And then the best thing is, if you have Android and you're listening to this podcast for some reason, you can use these and get a lot of the same features. And you can still do the heart rate sensor. You just have to engage it manually. So with the iOS devices, it happens automatically. But with Android, you have to, I forget what it is, but I believe you hold down for like 10 seconds or something, the button, and it'll like engage. I don't know. I've never tried it, but it's available. So that's cool. It's kind of like the AirPods for everyone.
I agree. I think it's an interesting product in a lot of ways, actually. And in a way, I'm kind of tempted to buy some. But I don't know if that's just because my AirPods Pro are basically completely not usable now, and I'm holding off of the AirPods Pro 3, and this looks like quite an attractive option.
Try it out. I mean, it's a bummer that they're $249, so you're basically spending AirPods Pro money, but they're also incredibly popular. I never realized that that's like their best-selling earbuds, and I think they're more popular than AirPods, if I'm not mistaken. In terms of sales, I think they sell more than AirPods, which seems wild to me, but I have to triple check that. But I feel like I heard someone say that recently, and I was completely surprised. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I think we can probably stop the episode there. I feel like that's a good, you know, recap of everything kind of going on this week. You know, you good? Something just
yeah, I could just hear what do you call it? It's a garbage truck or
Yes. Hartley's in the US, everyone. So yes, he's hearing all of the US sounds.
I am.
All right. Well, reminder, questions, please, if you want us to do a Q&A episode. And then we will catch everyone in the next episode.